You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project. And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments. From sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more, Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, I am very pleased to have a full house in our beautiful downtown Exeter studios. We have representatives of the Jamestown Community Chorus with us. We have B.J. Whitehouse, the musical director. Welcome, B.J.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you with us finally after a long opportunity of trying to get together with you. He's a very busy guy. We'll find out about why he's so busy and probably because he's so talented. But then we'll get to the other people here, which is the president, Pat Perry. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Mike.
Nice to have you with us. It's great to see you. And we have the vice president, Dorothy Strang. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.
Finally, we have us all together, and we're going to find out about the Community Chorus of Jamestown and B.J. Whitehouse, the musical director. B.J., how long have you been directing the chorus?
This is my 21st year with the chorus.
Wow. You don't look that old.
Well, I've been around, and I'm well-preserved, thank you.
There you are. Well-preserved. We actually were talking before the show, and B.J. and I found out we have a lot of people in common that we know, not from nearby in Rhode Island, as you might suspect, but from all across the country, because you went to Bowling Green University.
I did. Graduated in 1979 with a lot of your friends.
Right. A lot of good friends of mine went to Bowling Green, as we talked about. We won't get into them right now because that's not important, but we'll talk a little bit more about the chorus. In the 21 years that you've been involved, what would you say the mission, or why is there a Jamestown Community Chorus?
Our statement of purpose states that we are to encourage choral singing in our community, and so we do that in a number of different ways through the chorus, but we also have a scholarship. We've donated 60 to 70 choral music CDs and DVDs to the local library, the Philomenian Library in Jamestown. We've tried to encourage everybody to sing, and as we say all the time, community comes before chorus in our name, so we encourage everyone who wants to sing to find a chorus, and if you can't find one you like, come see us in Jamestown.
There you go. And Jamestown's not that hard to get to, as we found out. We also discussed that a little bit. Sometimes people in the greater Rhode Island, southeastern Connecticut, and southeastern Massachusetts area think that Jamestown is an island or something.
Well, it sort of is an island. I don't think it's a moraine. I think it is an island. It's. We always say we're the step cousin to Aquidneck Island with Newport. But we're very happy that people find our chorus and that people find Jamestown. It's a really vibrant little community that we are all very involved in, and on any number of levels.
And Dorothy, as vice president, your mission is to do what? You're in charge of publicity or?
Of development and fundraising and getting the word out that Jamestown has a wider reach than many people believe to be true. I think it's not known or assumed, but half and more of our chorus, which now number 52 people, are not from Jamestown, but across one bridge or the other. I think there are 7 communities in South County and the mainland who send singers, one or more, to the chorus every Monday evening. And we have people from Aquidneck Island, from Portsmouth, Middletown, and Newport, all 3 of those. So our reach is a little broader than people might assume.
Oh, great. We'll find out from Pat a little bit later, so I'll let you think about this, about a website address and things like that, so people can find out about your chorus there. But first, B.J., back to you, and let's get to this first piece of music, and this is called Awakening. Tell us about what we're about to hear.
Well, we first did this in 2005 in a statewide choral program called Risings up in at Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Providence. This was so popular among with our chorus members that we decided to have it as a piece in our 60th anniversary concert a year ago December. We'd put together a really fun program at the community center in Jamestown, and we ended with this piece. It's I think if anybody has sung in a chorus and you haven't heard of this one, you might have been under a rock. It is extremely popular among high school and colleges, as well as community choruses.
All right. It's a little bit lengthy, so we're going to kind of come into the middle of it and listen to the big finish, and then we'll be back with more. The sound of the applause, that sounds like it was a very successful piece. Tell us about the composer.
Well, Joseph Martin wrote that piece some time ago, and there's quite a story behind it. I don't know if we should go into it right now, but he had written it as a reaction to a great tragedy in his family's life, and that when we get to the line, "Let music never die in me," it was very touching to everybody who sings it. Then when you hear the story of what this man went through, it's even more impressive. I should note, too, as well, that was the ending of our 60th anniversary concert in 2009. The pianist is our accompanist, who's a fabulous musician, a good friend of mine, and she's been with me since I started in 1989, Janet Grant, who lives in Jamestown and is one of the greatest musical assets our island has to offer. She is involved in any number of things, and just she's a peach.
Well, that's great. Great thing. And, Pat, I asked you about website. What is the website information?
Our website is jamestownri.com/chorus. And on that website, you can find all of the information about the chorus, what we do, where we do, all the information is available. A phone number to reach us is 423-1574.
Very well done. Pat is sitting right beside me here in our exclusive studios in a plush environment. We've got a big crowd here today, but it's great to have you all with us. I'm going to ask to actually go to the next piece rather quickly here, since we have some long ones in this first segment. And BJ, tell us about Virgin Most Pure.
It's a traditional English carol, and we sang it at our December 2010 concert just a month and a half ago. It was an arrangement from the Oxford Book of Carols, and we took almost all the carols from there, as well as another piece we'll hear later on. It was all British choral music or arranged by folks like John Rutter. And this particular piece I chose because it features the chorus and it features a small ensemble within the chorus as well. It's strophic, it's six verses or so. It's what's indicative, I think, of the concert itself, which was interspersed with readings from A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens that was actually added a great deal to the entire program as we would do those readings, and Pat did one of the readings, Dorothy did one of the readings. We had 10 throughout. It really set a tone for kind of that Dickensian Christmassy feeling. So all of the music was either British or arranged by British composers and arrangers.
We'll give that a listen right now. Dorothy, I guess I should just put you on the spot. BJ said you did a reading. Tell us what the reading was.
My reading came, I would say, two-thirds of the way through the book, and it was a very upbeat reading. We'd had several preceding about Scrooge and the evilness of Scrooge and his tight view of life. Mm-hmm. And my reading featured Bob Cratchit coming home from Christmas Eve service with Tiny Tim, and his daughter playing a joke on him, and his wife laughing and hugging him and sending Tiny Tim out to the wash house to hear the pudding cooking in the wherever it was cooking. So it was a very upbeat and jolly kind of reading with a nice touch at the end where Bob Cratchit describes Tiny Tim's saying in church that it would be nice on Christmas Day if people would remember who it was who made lame boys walk. So very, very touching and good. And Dickens is everybody's favorite, and it was great fun to read it.
Excellent. We're gonna stay with this theme in the first segment, and then in the second segment, after our commercial break, we'll get into a little bit more of what the chorus is up to now. But let's finish this one off with the music of Christmas Day. BJ, tell us about this one.
It's a medley that was written, put together by Gustav Holst, a famous early 20th century British composer. It features probably three or four familiar carols, with one that's not, a Breton carol from France, that's thrown it kind of in the middle of it. But it's a lengthy piece. Chorus worked very hard on it. It came out very well. You'll hear an organ in the background being played by Judy Stickney, who's a member of our chorus as well, and an organist on Aquidneck Island. You'll hear God Rest You Merry Gentlemen in it. It's a medley, but it's a very, very classy medley that I'm sure many, many choruses will find familiar.
All right. We'll listen to as much of that as possible. It is a little bit lengthy, as BJ said, and then we'll be back with more of the Jamestown Community Chorus.
Good Christian man, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. News, news, Jesus Christ is born today.
People at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments.
We are back on Conducting Conversations, having a great evening listening to music provided to us by the Jamestown Community Chorus. And we have B.J. Whitehouse, Dorothy Strang, and Pat Perry with us. And B.J., you, in your professional life, are a teacher. Tell us a little bit about that.
I've been teaching in Little Compton at the public school there for 23 years now. And prior to that, I was teaching K-12 at Block Island School for 4 years before that. And then in Ohio in the early 1980s after graduating from Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. And somehow found my way here to Rhode Island and have never really looked back.
Great. And there is no bridge to Block Island. So that was a...
No, like Don Bousquet said, just roll up your windows.
Right. There you go. And did you live there during that time?
I commuted via the boat. For 2 years, I lived in Narragansett, and I worked as the arts director for the town of South Kingston and programmed all their summer concerts and winter arts activities. And then the last 2 years of my tenure there, I lived on the island and worked with the ecumenical chorus there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I was a singer. I wasn't the director at the time. I was the, I guess, the men's section leader. And one of my favorite choral moments was our ecumenical chorus from Block Island went to a competition in Ireland. And we sang there, and I got to sing Danny Boy and The Parting Glass for the Lord Mayor of Limerick.
Wow. And
it was great fun.
That sounds
great. Great experience.
Sounds great. We're going to find out about Dorothy and Pat as singers in a moment, but we have something new coming up for the chorus, and that's a new production, which is happening when?
It's going to take place on March 5th and 6th. We're doing a concert version, not a stage version, but a concert version of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance or The Slave of Duty.
Hmm.
So we've been working since January, and we have chosen soloists from the chorus and from the community. We will. It's interesting. We did HMS Pinafore about 17 years ago, and instead of trying to stage everything, we'll use all the dialogue and all of the songs, all of the arias and all the ensemble pieces, and the soloists in extraordinarily minimal costuming, usually hats and so forth, will sit down front, and when it's their turn to speak or sing, they'll stand up, and during the finales, of course, everybody comes up, and you'll hear all of the favorite songs.
All the great music. Well, that's terrific, and you brought some music with you today. Who is performing the music we're about to hear?
Well, I'd like to say it's us, but it's actually the Doyley Card Opera Company from London, and it's a recent production from, I want to say, about 1980. It was right after Joseph Papp's production in 1978 on Broadway. So
okay.
The recording we'll listen to is from England. It's the, quote, official GNS group, the Doyley Card Opera Company.
All right, we'll listen to a portion of the overture at this time and then come back.
Thank you.
pirate, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Dorothy, you're not only the vice president, but as we talked off air, you're one of the singers. What part do you sing?
Well, in the Pirates of Penzance, I've been cast as Edith. It's a secondary lead. I'm the head of Mabel's girl gang, as
wow.
I like to describe it, and get to sing a number of things with Mabel, who has this wonderful lyric floating on the ceiling kind of part. So that is great fun. And the Mabel who's been cast is a community member, Bethany Clark, whom we're all very fond of. She is a graduate of URI. She's in her first full year of teaching at the Prout School.
Mm-hmm.
She does all the music there, as far as I can make out, including the musical theater. She's also the director of the Jamestown Community Band, a lifelong Jamestowner, and a wonderful singer. And we're just so delighted to have her singing the part of Mabel.
That's great. And Pat, what do you do in singing?
I'm in the chorus. I do more behind the scenes and enjoy just being part of everybody singing together.
Now, as far as what part, what voice part do you sing?
I sing soprano and second soprano and been with the chorus for the last 6 years, enjoying being part of it.
We're going to get to another piece of Pirates right here, and then we'll have an opportunity to talk some more about tickets and availability and things like that. But tell us about Poor Wandering One.
Well, it's Mabel is the soprano lead, and in the repertory company of Doyle Cart back in 1879 or so, there was always a soprano part, Yum Yum, in Mikado and so forth. This one was actually kind of a swipe at Rossini and some of their predecessors, and it turns out that Sullivan wrote the music to this in one night.
Wow.
And when you listen to it, it's absolutely beautiful. But he was actually taking a little bit of swipe at the coloraturas of the Italian opera when he wrote some of the melismas and so forth, and the ornamentation that is in this piece. And it's a very difficult piece to sing.
Hmm.
So we're very pleased that Bethany is joining us because she actually can handle the trills and so forth in it. It's a little waltz, and it's being sung to a pirate that all the other girls have eschewed because, of course, they are pirates and they are wards in Chancery. Actually, they're the daughters of Major General Stanley. So where everybody has let this poor pirate go and they don't want anything to do with him, she sings this kind of silly song called Poor Wandering One.
Now, whenever I hear a story like that he wrote this in one night, I think to myself, what did I do last night? I shoveled the driveway. Probably won't be remembered for centuries.
Yeah, as I read, I'm a Savoyard. I'm a real Gilbert and Sullivan aficionado and have read a great deal about the two and their operas and so forth. And it didn't always come that easily.
Right.
Gilbert would send the lyrics to Sullivan. And at this point, they weren't really talking to each other very much.
Hmm.
They were more interested in getting this thing on. The performance is fascinating because they had a company doing Pinafore in England, near out in the provinces doing it. And to establish the copyright, because Pinafore had been infringed upon so many times in the United States, they premiered this in New York. It did not premiere in London.
Hmm.
So to secure the copyright, the law at the time stated that they had to have a performance in England first.
Wow.
And so the people in England were literally reading the score in which the ink was still wet the night before it opened in New York. And so this particular one, and Sullivan was writing the overture to the performance in New York literally all the way through the night before, like 5 in the morning or something goes the story, and he rehearsed the orchestra at about 9 in the morning, and he had never seen it before, and they were threatened to quit because it was too hard. So there's a lot of background to pirates and to all of the operettas, but this one in particular is kind of funny when you listen to this beautiful song. It's a little silly, but it took just minutes, really, literally minutes to write.
All right, we'll listen to Poor Wandering One and then be back after this break.
Oh,
people at Roberts Musical Instruments know there are many folks out there who, like them, are passionate about music. They know because they are musicians. They teach, listen, repair instruments, and take the time to learn who their customers are. So when you step into Roberts Musical Instruments at Quaker Valley Plaza in West Warwick, you can expect to receive the very best in service and selection. Whether it be a piece of sheet music, a name brand instrument, a rental, a lesson, the right accessory, or an on-site repair, when it comes to all matters of music, you should tune into Roberts Musical Instruments.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We are sitting with the Jamestown Community Chorus representatives, B.J. Whitehouse, musical director, Pat Perry, the president, and Dorothy Strang, vice president. And Dorothy, you have an event coming up on February 27th at the library. Tell us about that.
Yes, we do. B.J.'s stories about the tensions between Gilbert and Sullivan led us to think that it would be great fun and a wonderful opportunity for the public to see the film Topsy Turvy, which was made several years ago, very much a grown-up film, about the tensions between the two and how they came back together through building this very new and unusual musical called The Mikado. We will be showing that at the Jamestown Philomenian Library at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, February the 27th. It is absolutely open to the public, free will donation, lots of popcorn. We hope it will be a wonderful preview for the Gilbert and Sullivan that we will be doing just a week later, the Pirates of Penzance, and we welcome everybody to come.
That'll be great. Popcorn. Can't wait.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. We'll get to this next tune from the musical, and then after that, when we come back, we'll talk to Pat one more time about website and phone number and things like that. If you're interested in getting a hold of someone from the chorus, BJ, tell us about this, probably the most famous of all the tunes from Pirates.
It's probably the most famous, and it's probably the most parodied of all of the arias songs from GNS. This is I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General. It is the patter song. There are patter mm-hmm. songs in most of the operettas, but in this one, our friend Robert Morton Ranney is our Major General Stanley. It was actually another swipe. This is very satiric in the time. There was a Major General Stanley, who then at the time of the writing became Lieutenant General Stanley. And we're not quite sure if Mr. Gilbert, who wrote the libretto, was really taking a serious swipe at him or the famous Stanley of Stanley and Livingston.
Hmm.
Who was very active at that time as in the newspaper business and as a writer. But because it's Major General Stanley, we think he was taking a swipe at this fellow who probably wasn't the finest of generals and who was probably not the finest of military men. And as he made this entire list of what this fellow could do, he knows the names of beings and Amalculus. This particular aria is usually has at least one or two or three or four or five encores, and each encore becomes faster and faster and faster. So as the Major General sings it, he trying to find rhymes for so when he has a smattering of elemental strategy, you'll say a finer Major General has never strategy. That is the worst rhyme of all time. It is, and it was meant to be, we hope, that in as it turns out, a G, it's actually GG, is a horse. Uh-huh. And so it turns out, in one of the very first productions I was just reading recently, the fellow who sang it stepped out and for his encore. And what will happen, of course, the chorus has to repeat everything
respond,
he says.
Right.
So he came out and said, you'll say a better Major General had never sat a horse. And so all of a sudden the chorus had to, never say the saddle horse. They had to make it up right then and there and to everybody's consternation. So it's you'll recognize it as soon as you hear it.
All right, here we go.
Uh-huh. I am the very model of a modern Major General. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and the coat of fights historical, from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I am very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations both the simple and quadratical. About polynomial theorem, I am teeming with a lot of news. Ah, with many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. I am very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings and animalculus. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern Major General. I know our mythic history, King Arthur's and the Caradox. Answer hard acrostics, have a pretty taste for paradox. In court, in elegiacs, all the crimes of Helicabalus. In cornix, I can floor peculiarities parabolous. I can tell undoubted Raphael some Derrida's and Sophonies. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. And I can hum a fugue of which you've heard the music's dinner for. Dinner for. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the airs from that infernal nonsense pinafore. Then I can write a washing bill in Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern Major General. In fact, when I know what is meant by mammalian and ravelin, when I can tell at sight a mouse a rifle from a javelin, when such affairs are sorties and surprises I'm more wary at, and when I know precisely what is meant by commissariat, when I have learned what progress has been made in modern gunnery, when I know more of tactics than a novice in a nunnery, in short, I have a smattering of elemental strategy. I have it. You'll say a better Major General and never satirize. You'll say a better Major General and never For my military knowledge, though I am plucky and adventurous, has only been but down to the beginning of the century. But still, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern Major General. And now that I have introduced myself, I should like to have some idea of what's going on.
Permit me. I'll explain in two words. We propose to marry your daughters.
Dear me.
Against our wills, Papa. Against our wills.
Oh, but you mustn't do that. May I ask? This is a picturesque uniform, but I'm not familiar with it. What are you?
We are all single gentlemen.
Yes, I gathered that. Anything else?
No, nothing else.
Papa, don't believe them. They are pirates. The famous pirates of Penzance.
Pirates of Penzance? I have often heard of them.
All except this gentleman, who was a pirate once, but who is out of his indentures today, and who means to lead a blameless life evermore.
But wait a bit. I object to pirates as sons-in-law.
We object to Major Generals as fathers-in-law. But we waive that point. We do not press it. We look over.
An idea. And do you mean to say that you would deliberately rob me of these, the sole remaining props of my old age, and leave me to go through the remainder of my life unfriended, unprotected, and alone?
Well, yes, that's the idea.
Tell me, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan?
Oh, that's it all! Here we are again!
I ask you, have you ever known what it is to be an orphan?
Orphan?
Yes, orphan. Have you ever known what it is to be one?
I say orphan.
Orphan! Orphan! Orphan!
I don't think we quite understand one another. When you said orphan, did you mean orphan a person who has lost his parents, or orphan frequently?
I beg pardon, I see what you mean. Frequently.
You said orphan frequently.
No, only once.
Exactly. You said orphan frequently only once.
Now that we have everyone tongue-tied from trying to sing along on that last piece, let's go to Pat one more time and ask about website information.
The website is jamestownri.com/chorus, and we have a lot of information about our chorus and our upcoming concert. If you would like to get any tickets, they are available at the Jamestown Hardware, Baker's Pharmacy, and the Secret Garden. Or you can call 423-1574, and you will be able to make arrangements to get tickets. They will be available at the door as well. Our concert is at the Central Baptist Church, which is on Narragansett Avenue in Jamestown.
Sounds like everything you need to know right there. Thank you very much, Pat. And Dorothy, let's talk about Beyond Pirates. What's coming up next this spring?
Yes, one of the things we are trying to do with the chorus is have more flexible rehearsal time and shorter rehearsal spans to attract people who have very busy lives who might like to sing with us but can't dedicate 13 straight weeks. After Pirates of Penzance, which will have been a 7 to 8 week rehearsal span, we will be starting work on a concert, spring fling concert in early May. Those rehearsals will start March 21st, 7 o'clock on Monday evenings. And as BJ is fond of saying, just show up and you're in. We are a non-auditioned chorus of high quality and high spirits.
Excellent. Excellent. I might be there. That'll be fun. All right. BJ, tell us about some of the other people involved in Pirates.
Well, we're very lucky in our chorus to have people who are willing to pitch in. I mean, you're listening to two people who do the brunt of the work in Pat and Dorothy here, but our board is very, very active. Also, we have people who are singing the leads. I've mentioned a couple of them, Beth Clark and Robert Morton Ranney. Terry Horsley, who is one of our chorus stalwarts, will be singing the Pirate King. As we go along here, you know, we have lots of people pitching in a lot of different ways. So Ethan Rosser is a fellow who is about 17 or 18 years old at NK High School, and he thought he was a baritone. He auditioned, and I said, well, young man, no, you're actually a tenor. And so he'll be singing Frederick, the slave of duty in the subtitle. Michael Smith, who has been singing, I met his dad when I first started, and Michael has been singing with us forever. Michael Smith will be singing the part of the police sergeant. His daughter has sung with our chorus. His mother sang with the chorus, and recently his grandson played Jingle Bells for us at our Christmas concert. We had four generations of Smiths in there, so that's very special. Mike's a great guy. And then we have Jim Traer, who is playing the lieutenant of the Pirates, Samuel. And I think that rounds out the cast. But we have a lot of people pitching in a lot of time, including our accompanists and our board members, who I can't say enough about.
Excellent. Well, it's great to have you all with us today and bringing the news of Jamestown Community Chorus to the WCRI listening audience, and wish you all the success in the world, both on the Pirates coming up and then your spring fling and all the things to come. We'll have to do this again if we can work out a time to get everybody together. It's been great. Thank you very much, Dorothy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mike, very much.
And Pat, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I've enjoyed it.
And BJ, thank you very much for being with us. It's great to finally meet you and get a chance to talk to you about some of the stuff that we discussed off air, which we'll continue to.
Well, Mike, it's often been said that there's 2 degrees of separation in Rhode Island. I think there's probably 1 separation degree in the world of barbershop singing, since we have so many common friends. But it's been great, and we appreciate your show and your station bringing classical music to our community and to all of Southern Rhode Island, Connecticut, and so forth.
Well, we hope to keep it going for a long time. Let's go out with one more piece. Tell us about Hail Poetry.
This is one of my favorite pieces, in that Sullivan, for a great deal of his career, was very upset that his talents were being used setting such silly, silly words. And the Pirate King talks about what's life without a touch of poetry in it. And out of nowhere comes this beautiful 4-part hymn, as beautiful as anything that Sullivan wrote for the church. And he wrote a great deal of, very familiar, The Lost Chord is one of his pieces, very familiar hymns for the church. And so in the middle of this finale comes this beautiful, beautiful 4-part unaccompanied chorale. And it's one of my favorite pieces. But if you listen to the words, the music far, far, far surpasses the lyric.
Great. See you next week on Conducting Conversations. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.